Thanks for listening to this podcast of APA Compass, the Pacific Northwest's only Asian Pacific American public affairs radio show. Our collective focuses on issues relevant to APA communities and features an angry APA minute where listeners like you can sound off. We promote social justice, feature APA arts and culture, and challenge how APAs are represented in the media. If you have a story idea or would like to contribute, leave us a message on our Facebook page, APA Compass Radio. APA Compass airs at 9 a.m. on the first Friday of each month on Portland's KBOO 90.7 FM and at www.kboo.fm. Or you can download podcasts of our program at kboo.fm/APACOMPASS. That's kboo.fm/APACompass. Thanks again for listening.
Thanks again for listening to APA Compass. I'm Sarika Mehta. Sandeep Roy is a journalist and writer with a past as a computer scientist. He's the host and producer of KALW San Francisco's Dispatches from Kolkata, a weekly story about life in changing India. And Sandeep is perfect for telling these stories. He was born and brought up in Kolkata, then spent 20 years in San Francisco, where he found his voice as a journalist. About 4 years ago, he moved back to Kolkata and recently published his debut novel, Don't Let Him Know. Sandeep joined me by phone while he was in California for his Bay Area book tour. We talked about the book's fascinating characters, LGBTQ issues in India, and what it means to join the ranks of South Asian American writers. Something else I really liked about the novel is kind of what you were talking about. It's about these family secrets. Sometimes these are potentially devastating, and sometimes seemingly innocuous acts of rebellion, kind of depending on the reader and the character. I loved the last chapter so much, and I don't really know how to ask you to talk about it without giving away too much to the readers and to the listeners, but give it a try.
I'll try, but you know, the chapter, the story, in a way, it begins in California when the son Amita discovers a fragment of a letter that he thinks contains a secret about his mother and what he thinks it's a letter from a past lover. But he doesn't realize that the secret actually carries embedded within it another secret. And
right,
his mother, when she herself was a newly arrived immigrant to America, to a small town, Carbondale in Illinois, which was actually my point of entry into the U.S. as well, she actually received this letter, and she thought she had hidden it for many decades until inadvertently the son finds it and thinks he has found a great secret about his mother, not knowing that the secret carries within it another secret as well. And then years later, and then this is in the last chapter, and we follow the families back and forth. We learn more about the secrets and their backstories. But at the end, and the last chapter is called The Scene of the Crime, and Amit, the son, decides to take his mother back on sort of a nostalgia tour of Carbondale, where she had once arrived. And, you know, in that chapter, I would say in some ways, his mother, Romola, who is, you know, now widowed and doesn't have particularly pleasant memories of her time in Carbondale, but it sort of goes along, you know, because the son wants her to go. You know, she finally finds a rather unexpected release in that chapter from the weight of the secret that she's been carrying around, you know, for decades.
That was an excellent synopsis without giving away any spoilers.
and let me just say, for effect, it involves a little bit of vampy Bollywood numbers from Asha Bhosle, and it has a little bit of gin and tonic in it as well. There you go.
Yes, there was also that. I thought
at that point that the character of Romola, who goes through quite a bit in that book, you know, that she deserved to have a gin and tonic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it was an incredible release and an incredible story of different characters coming together. It's a really amazing novel. Another a unique element in that I don't think it's talked about much. You know, Avinash is exploring these gay chat rooms and clubs at an older period in his life and talking about these characters coming together. It felt like he's finding this community through the power of the internet and this, you know, finding community through anonymity. Speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, I wanted to really address that in the character of Avinash, who is, and, you know, it's not much of a spoiler to say, is a man not unlike many thousands of other men in India who might, you know, in other ways identify as gay, but ended up getting married to women because of social pressures, family pressures, or just simply because they couldn't imagine what a life as a gay man would entail in a country like India at that time. And Avinash is one such character, and I wanted very much not to make him sort of the villain of the piece, even if he has lied in a certain sense. But I wanted to make him, you know, even though he's done that, he's still a good husband and a good father and a decent father in to the best of his ability. But at one point, you know, but I can imagine that somebody like Avinash is growing up at a time where he has very few resources to find other people like him. Everything has to be stuff he's just stumbled upon accidentally. There's no internet, there are no chat rooms, there are no gay organizations, there's no pride parade, there is no gay bar.
You know, there's really no support.
Resources exist at that time. And then later on, I mean, in India, that's scene has changed radically because partly of the advent of the internet and partly because of many activists who worked on the ground. And so somebody sitting in a remote corner of India can actually connect to other gay people around the country, whether it's through chat rooms or organizations or whatever. But the internet especially has been a huge motivating factor. And now there are gay parties and events in most cities in India that happen regularly. And I wanted to imagine what it would be like for a character like Avinash to go to one of these events and, you know, sort of walk into this little wonderland filled with strobe lights and the latest Bollywood music and see all these maybe hundreds of gay men having a good time, laughing, enjoying the evening with each other, dancing. And it must be kind of a poignant, bittersweet moment for him to realize that even, you know, that this has happened within his lifetime, that he's able to witness this sort of transformation within the LGBT scene in India. And yet, at some level, he must feel even more poignantly that it's come a little too late for him. And, you know, he must be standing there wishing he was that all this had been available to him when he was 25 or something like that. And I wanted to, and that's a sort of generational thing that is happening in India right now. And I wanted to have a little glimpse of that in the book.
That's true. That's a good point. And speaking of which, well, I wanted to understand a timeline. I know that you lived in the U.S. for 20 years. And when did you move back to India?
I moved to India in about 4 years ago.
About 4 years ago.
Yeah, in 2011.
So because a lot of your journalistic work is giving dispatches from India, including coverage on gay rights issues and the culture of the community and the culture of gay rights in India. And with this theme in your novel, with a storyline in your novel about an almost gay couple or a forbidden love or something to that effect, I was curious, how was your book received in India, especially in light of the Supreme Court decision?
Yeah, the Supreme Court decision that sort of recriminalized homosexual sex was kind of a setback. But at the same time, I would say that in many ways, this whole issue is like toothpaste out of the tube. Because for about 4 years, there was a Delhi High Court verdict which had decriminalized homosexuality. A lot of stuff had just literally come out of the closet. You know, there was much more visibility around gay issues and gay people in the media than ever before. And what was striking about the Supreme Court decision was actually that when it happened, the almost near total, especially in the English language media, near total condemnation of that decision. That even though the Supreme Court said it was about a minuscule minority, you wouldn't have felt that if you read the op-ed pages of all the major newspapers in India, which definitely condemned this decision in no uncertain terms, because I think it went against a sort of image that India was cultivating for itself as kind of a modern democratic, you know, liberal democracy. And so in that sense, the book, I mean, you know, it was not a book that originated in the US and then went to India. It's a book that was actually originated in India and then went to UK and US and other places in the world. So in that sense, it was publishers in India who saw the potential in the story and actually embraced it rather than balking at the content. And in a certain sense, the dialogue has moved so far ahead that this issue itself, you know, doesn't really faze people at all. And the reviews that have come out, I mean, the book has only been out in India for about a month as of now, but the reviews that have come out in papers like the Indian Express or the Hindustan Times or Scroll or Open Magazine have all been very positive, and none of them have in the least bit been bothered by the gay angle in it.
Well, I'm very happy to hear that. I think I do remember reading about the English language newspapers condemning the Supreme Court overturning decision. So it's good. It's just, hopefully we'll see more progress within our lifetimes, you know?
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, speaking of storytelling, as a South Asian American, I didn't discover any books where I could relate to experiences personally, until I was well into college. Mm-hmm. And now I'm just thrilled, you know, all these years later, I'm thrilled to see this cadre of writers such as yourself, Chitra Banerjee, Jhumpa Lahiri, recently published Naomi Muravira. I personally like to think of it as like a revolution of writers. So I was curious how you, as a writer in this group, how do you feel as being a part of this, what I am coining a revolution, or do you feel that there's too much pressure to represent the community? Have I put you in a tough spot here?
No, in fact, I've been thinking about that. And actually, I think, okay, let me say, this is a double-edged sword in some ways. And let me explain why. Because at one level, another writer, a South Asian American writer coming up with a work of fiction, is going to be met with a certain amount of pushback from publishers who feel that, oh, there are already all these other voices out there. You know, so they might come to that person and say, oh, you've written about Bengali immigrants coming to America, but you know, Jhumpa Lahiri has already written wonderfully about them. So nobody will ever say an Anglo-American writer that, oh, you've written about suburbanites in New Jersey, but, you know, John Updike already wrote the Rabbit trilogy long time ago, and so we don't need any more suburban novels. But so there is that little bit of pressure that you have to work against. But on the other hand, the liberating thing about it is that because there are so many voices out there, it in fact frees you from a lot of that burden of representation that you're talking about, because you feel like you're not the only one out there, and so therefore the reputation and prestige and pride of 1 billion South Asian people, it does not rest on your shoulders alone, that, you know, that your character is not going to become the archetype of all whatever Indian immigrants or all Indian gay men or all anything. And you can just concentrate on telling the stories. And I think that is actually a wonderfully liberating thing. So, you know, I can, but it's also wonderful to meet some of these other South Asian writers like Naomi, who is a new and good friend, and you know, and we can moan and complain and drink wine together and share horror stories about book tours and publicity and this and that, and it's great to see all these other voices out there, and to feel that this is becoming kind of an accepted canon in American literature.
Good, good. Well, Sandeep Roy, thank you so much for chatting with me.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to be an APA Compass.
That was journalist and writer Sandeep Roy joining me by phone from San Francisco. His debut novel is called Don't Let Him Know. You can catch his dispatches from Kolkata Weekly on KALW. I'm Sarika Mehta. Thanks for listening. Say what you want.